It's good to see you guys, and I'm thankful for everybody that's online too. I just bless your hearts. Thanks for tuning in on a snowy night. It can really be challenging. I'm really thankful for Zoom. You know, there's lots of different things that we're challenged on, but we can still stay connected. And I thank you for all you faithful folks out there that are watching right now. Tonight, my main goal is to encourage you. I want us all to go away, all of you that are here, I want you to go away encouraged, and everybody that's watching, I want you to be encouraged in the Lord for what he's doing in our midst, and he's doing quite a bit. You know, we've talked about small groups being the heartbeat of our church, and that's the case. It certainly has been the heartbeat of our church, and tonight I just want to talk about life in small groups, and again, I'm preaching to the choir here. You're the ones that get it done. You're the ones that lead. So I'm excited just to encourage you. You might say, well, yeah, I am doing that. Well, praise the Lord. You'll be encouraged tonight. But when we say it's the heartbeat of the church, you know, even physically, there's things that we have to do to keep our heartbeat, to physically stay in shape. And now I'm not necessarily a good example of that. But there's things that you can do to keep yourself in shape. And, of course, it always comes back to eat right and exercise. Eat right and exercise. You know, at my house, I live over by Tom, and people constantly walk by our house. They jog, they walk, whatever it might be. But I've noticed that when it's 8 in the morning, when it's a sunshiny day and it's really nice, people be walking, biking, riding horses, all kinds of, because there's all kinds of trails out by our house. But on mornings like this morning at 8 o'clock, and I can see it from my quiet time where I see, and even 6 in the morning, I can see people walking. But when it's snowy and blustery and hard, I notice there's just not quite as many people. Not quite as many people on their bikes, just not quite as many people walking. But there are a handful of faithful people that are really serious about staying healthy, and there they are. They're walking in the snow. They just bundle up. They just do what they need to do. And church, that's you. Right now in our small group season, that's you. Doing whatever you need to do. You're just hanging in there, doing it. If it's Zoom, which is a beautiful tool, we're thankful for that. But you're doing it. You're continuing to make it happen. And I just really appreciate that. You know, it's essential in our lives. I really think it is. For us to be in church, in small group, whatever that might look like. We're in a season, for sure. It looks different right now. But tonight, I just want to look at three reasons life is better in small groups. So let's just jump right in. Smaller is better. We're not in Texas. Smaller is better. You can get better communication and the building of essential relationships. Even sometimes we might say, you might have heard this before, a call to all is a call to none. But when we get in smaller groups, we just have it's just a better way to relay information, to help each other know what's going on. It's a place where we can build intimate relationships that go deeper than just, hi, how you doing on a Saturday night or a Sunday morning, or even just a casual Zoom. It takes more than a casual Zoom. I would say a couple of casual Zooms. We really have to pursue each other. You know, Jesus himself, he had lots of people in his life, lots of people that he'd teach. At times he'd have to get on a boat to teach the crowds of people. But when the rubber met the road, he had how many? He had 12 disciples. So he broke down into small groups when he really wanted to pour into these 12. That's the size he chose. And even within the 12, there were three: Peter, James, and John. There's even a tighter circle that he drew. And I think 12 is a great small group size. You know, what we've done is we've got a roster of 24, and at least 12 show up every time. So we have 12. But that's a great small group size. When we get smaller, relationships flourish. I've experienced it in my own life, and I've seen it in all kinds of other people's lives too. I like this verse that we got from recently from Revelations. We taught, I think Josh taught, in the church in Ephesus, and this verse came up. I like the way it's written in the NLT, and I'll explain that to you in a minute, but read it with me. It says, "But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first." You know, in the ESV, it says, "You have abandoned the love you had at first. You abandoned your first love." I just, as I look at the NLT on this, I really like this. "You don't love me." Of course, Christ talking to us. First, he gave them, he built them up, and he says, "But I have this against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first." And I just think, as I came across this verse, as I look at it closer, it just seems to me like Jesus and the believers, each other, that's kind of inseparable. There's a oneness there that I think that once we become believers, we're a part of that oneness. And really, in the days we're living in with pandemic, it just kind of rips at the fabric of our oneness. It's just hard to be isolated and separated, and it's a challenge to fight for our oneness. And we need to be men and women, just come up with creative ways to overcome that season that we're in. We're in a season, we're all in it. But I think God is helping us tremendously. I like these verses from Hebrew. It says, "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works." You know, I think we, and you guys know this, you're doing it, we need to be creative. People out in the world are certainly doing it. Bicycle sales are more than they ever have been. People are doing things outdoors. You know, we can do that, saints. We can think of ways of getting together. And I think we need to. We can wear masks. We need to be careful and protect each other and be cautious. But we can't let what's going on just squelch what the Lord is doing. I think we have to be able to get creative. And there's lots of ways to do that. Now, as I look at it as smaller is better, you guys know the story of the Jethro principle, I call it. Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, came across and observed Moses judging the people, working, if you will. So Moses' father-in-law comes in and observes that Moses is working from before the sun comes up till way after it's down. So Moses observes this, and he realizes, he tells him, he says, "You're going to wear yourself out. You're going to wear yourself out. You need to get other people to help you judge these people." And that's what I kind of call the Jethro principle. So Moses did like his father-in-law recommended. It says that in Exodus 18:25, he chose capable men from all over Israel and appointed them as leaders over the people. He put them in charge of groups of 1,150 and 10. So he kind of broke them down into smaller groups. So I got my X's and O's out here. And again, some of you engineers, you might have a difficult time looking at this because everything isn't exact. But what I really want to do is just make an illustration here. So let's say approximately we had 900 people attending our church pre-COVID. So there's 900 X's and O's up there. Now you have eight pastors. So if we do the math, that's one pastor for 112.5 people each. Now, I know that some of the other pastors, like Brian, are super pastors, but I personally have a difficult time discipling 112.5 people. But like you, I am an under-shepherd. And when we apply the Jethro principle here and apply small groups, there's just a better way to communicate. Now, the colored ones now, they represent small groups. So each of those small groups has a leader or two. So information gets passed off in a more intimate setting, in a smaller type of group. And all the blue ones, those are the ones that aren't in small groups yet. So they're on the outside looking in. But certainly all of our hearts would be that the blue people get involved in small groups one day as well. That's kind of the Jethro principle. But I've noticed that even discipling and even relationship and coming to know people, and we have like 70 people in youth group, and then we have a number of men's and women's group that might only have 4 people. But just bear with me. I just kind of used even numbers here to just kind of give us a visual. So then, of course, the dreaded COVID came. And for a while, we didn't even meet. We closed the church. Remember that? We all watched online for a while there. Just a few of the people putting on the service came. So we got down, now we're around 432 people. Again, my numbers might not be exact, but I'm just trying to give you a visual. Now, our percentages have changed. We still have, praise the Lord, a number of small groups and people involved, and our viewership has gone up. So we may only have like 432 people attending church on a weekend, but our viewership has gone up. And so quite a few people as well are involved in small groups via Zoom or however it might be. So I've talked to people that are very encouraged in the Lord, and they're just having Zoom meetings, which is great. They're encouraged. They're pursuing the Lord, and that's their conviction. And I say, amen, do that. Keep going with that. One day, we, God willing, we're gonna be past this. And it's going to look different again. But for now, for this season, and I honestly can't see a whole lot changing until summer, if then. So there's a season here where we're still just going to have to be creative, but our small groups are no less important than they were before. And small groups cultivate relationships. You guys know this. I like this quote from Ray Steadman. Gone to be with the Lord. It says, it goes against the grain to give an image of oneself that is anything less than perfect. And many Christians imagine that they will be rejected by others if they admit to any faults. He goes on to say, but nothing could be more destructive to Christian koinonia or fellowship than the common practice today of pretending not to have problems. So as we come together in small groups, cultivate real relationships. We see each other's stuff. and everybody has it. And here's the thing. That's good. That's okay. Just be yourself. You come to my house, it's not always going to be clean. There'll be things that I'll forget. But it's in that context of just saying, you know what? I love you anyway. Let's be together. Whether it's together in a group or in a building or Zooming, we need to be together. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, they're all my favorites, but this is double favorite. Having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become so very dear to us. You know, here's one way I could encourage you. People are still coming to Christ. People are getting saved in the midst of a pandemic. People are getting baptized. I know of one young gal just came to Christ last week, and she's going to get plugged into a small group. So the Lord's still moving. It looks very different to us because of all the things that are going on, but the Lord is still moving. And in some ways, I think he's using these hard things maybe to stir up our faith a little bit so we could be like that people that are jogging in the snow day in and day out. The Lord called me to be with other people one way or another, and I need to be sure that I am. I know for me personally, it's not good for me when I'm not around you guys, when I'm not around my brothers and sisters. I need your influence in my life. We need each other's influence in each other's life. Because there's real life going on, isn't there? What I love about small groups, I looked at an old album from a small group I was in like 23 years ago. It was in my house. We were leading a small group, and there were over 20 kids on the floor in my living room. And we were trying to operate around that and have a small group. They had families like Mahalis. They had 8 kids. They just had all these kids in our house. But God worked in our lives. We studied His Word. We learned how short we all came in lots of different areas of parenting. And God was there, and He helped us. You know, in small groups, singleness. I mean, from ages 16 to beyond 60, that boy-girl thing is just so hard to figure out. People get divorced, and then they're single, and they're trying to get hooked up or what. It's just so difficult. I would say in your singleness, be with a group of people that love Jesus that can help give you godly advice. That's a healthy place to do life. Oftentimes we get information from places that, you know, someone's been divorced 3 times and then they wrote a book. It's like, I'm not sure that's where I want to get my help. Purity, oh my goodness. You know, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. After I get to know someone after a while, spend some time with them, it's almost like I can tell if they're really following the Lord or if they're struggling with purity. In this day and age, it's not just men, it's men and women. We are washed over with filth, and we need to help each other turn our eyes, turn our heads, and fight for purity. And marriages, where do you want to learn how to do marriage? And I don't know if Bill even remembers this, but when we first moved to Utah, you know, I was a construction worker for a lot of years. I can be harsh. I can be pretty short with, you can ask my kids and my wife, but I can be pretty short. But I can remember, Bill, you know, you like to say that a Christian life is not taught but caught. But I remember Mary, sometimes she would come in, maybe not at the most opportune moment, and she might interrupt. But brother, ever since I've known you, you've just been so gentle to address her and talk to her and work through whatever it was. And I've learned that from you. I haven't arrived there yet. You can ask Jeannie. But I trust I'm, you know, maybe my heart's getting a little gentler. God's worked on my heart. But that's because I spent time with you. And, you know, telling different guys, that's where you pick up on it. Husbands, do not be harsh with your wives. We come across those verses, husbands, do not be harsh with your wives. And oftentimes we'll hear people when we're talking to them, they'll tear down their husband or tear down their wife. And in a small group, you get to know people, you might be able to take them off and say, you know, we ain't talking about your wife. It just does not honor her. Build her up, don't tear her down. It's just in that type of environment where our life really becomes raw and open is where we really start learning new things. And parenting, oh my goodness, we all think we have these unique kids because we do. And, you know, and you see all these kids around, you say, why is that child biting everybody? And you have to try to figure it out. Or gossiping. Oh my goodness, we can slip into that gossip thing so easily. Like, oh yeah, he's always late, or she's always late, or he did that. I don't think he can afford that big truck he just bought, and this and that and the other thing. But in small groups, that's where we can really help each other. It's just real life stuff. How to bake cookies, how to put up light fixtures, how to do this or that or the other thing. Where do you learn that stuff from? You want to learn it from your brothers and sisters. Even ordinarily health things, like someone might say, come up to you and say, oh, my urine, it smells weird. My urine smells weird. I think I have cancer. It's like, no, you probably just had some asparagus yesterday. You're gonna be all right. It's just real life stuff that you figure out over time. I like this verse from 1 Peter 3. It says, finally, all of you should be of one mind, sympathize with each other, love each other as brothers and sisters, be tenderhearted, and keep a humble attitude. Man, I wish we could just do that. And here's the thing. By God's grace, by His Holy Spirit living in us, we can. And I'm so thankful for that. He helps us through every little thing. And the final point, Small groups provide a place to support and encourage one another. There's another quote from Andrew Murray. Our love to God is measured by our everyday fellowship with others and the love it displays. You know, this relationships and small groups and people coming and going in our lives, it's not always a beautiful thing. Sometimes there's hard things. Sometimes there's conflict, and we have to work through the conflict. And we need to be men and women that go the distance in forgiving and loving one another and working through and doing the best we can to resolve conflict. In 2 Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be difficult times. I'm pretty convinced we're in the last days, just as they were in Paul and Timothy's days. But no one plans for troubles. You and I, we didn't plan for a pandemic. And after this pandemic leaves, and Lord Jesus, make that soon, after that moves on, there's some other hard things that are going to happen as well. There just are. And in the smaller groups is where we can really help each other with meals, support. Sometimes you just need a shoulder to cry on, or sometimes you need somebody to pray with you. So small groups is where that can happen, where it can really get intimate and personal. And of course, our favorite verses from Hebrews, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is near. And again, the day of his return, we don't know when he's going to come back, but you know, I pray it'd be today. That'd be fantastic. But it is drawing near. And this is our verse. Let us not neglect our meeting together. Right now, that doesn't look like it did 8 months ago. Right now, you might be meeting on Zoom. Right now, you're just watching me, and that's fine, and that's what we're going to have to do for this next distance together. We have to lock arms and do whatever it takes to get through this next distance. But we have to be mindful. Don't let our relationships fizzle. Out of sight, out of mind, people can just dissipate. I've noticed that people can just dissipate, and not so with us. May we be men and women that fight for relationships. This is our verse. I believe church and small groups are essential, not in a reckless way of meeting, but thoughtfully, where we social distance and protect each other from this awful pandemic that's going on. But it's essential. I don't see any other way around it. Our relationships, we need each other. The Lord knows that, and he set it up that way for us. And I think another thing we ought to keep in mind, too, is always you as small groupers, hey, that's a pretty good way to say it, you as small groupers, always keep in goal the mind of multiplying. When I start a new small group or at different times during my small groups, I will mention that. We came together as a small group so that one day we can multiply. Why? So more blue people can get into small groups. It's hard sometimes, especially when you go for years with the same group. It's just really hard to multiply because you love each other so much. But something that supersedes that is more people need what you've had over those years. And multiplying is really the best way to make room for more people. So in this season, maybe where it's not flourishing and small groups aren't on high, maybe in the fall they will be. So be thinking now, preparing now. Well, how could I multiply? Maybe we could multiply. So come next fall after summer, we'll be able to multiply. And I'm just going to go a little farther here because I ran out of time. I like this verse from, again, another one of my favorites. They're all my favorites. For you are called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Now, you guys are the small group leaders. You are leading out in the heartbeat of our church, what we as leaders would consider the most precious part of our church. Certainly, we have a church service and all these other things, but we're saying, wait, the heartbeat, boom, 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 boom. That, we place that in your hands. you're ones that are leading that. And it's, we look at our groups, and I know you guys do this, but just take the time and think of your people. Pray for them. Look outside of yourself. And this is a stretch for me at times, just to think, how can I serve them? How can I go a step further? What would that brother or sister, what would help them in their walk with the Lord? What would help them grow closer to the Lord? And as shepherds, as overseers, I think we just need to be men and women that pay attention. We want people to grow. We don't want them just to stay where they've always been. Oh, he's always been like that. Well, no. God can help that person move on to bigger and greater things. You know, as leaders, we have a tremendous opportunity to help people. And I'm going to squeeze in another verse. Romans 15:2. We should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. And again, small group leaders, you're doing that. Way to go, team. Thank you for doing that. Continue doing that. Things are going to look a little different this season. And even in the fall, who knows what it's going to be like. Maybe the floodgates will be open and we'll try to figure out, oh my goodness, how are we going to shepherd these 75 small groups? I don't know what's going to happen, but the Lord does, and I know that he'll help us along the way. We're going to do a little exercise here where now I'm going to have people come up. Some of the small group leaders, I've talked to some of you, are going to come up and just kind of share how your small group is doing. So there's a number of leaders here, and what I ask you to do is come up on the stage so the people that are Zooming, because there's probably more people on Zoom than there is here in this room, but I want them to see you. There's something about hearing, oh, there's other people doing small group and trying to figure it out, and it just encourages me to know that other people are in the fight with me. So I can start with my small group, and then Josh is going to come up, and he's going to share about the youth group and his small group. And then I talked to some of the pastors and a few others I tagged. We only have so much time because I'm being a little long-winded. But the idea is just give us an update. Again, we know you don't have a perfect small group, okay? And that's all right. But you're trying, you're pursuing, you're loving people, and that's admirable, and I think that's what God's called us to. Linda and Phil and Jeannie and I, we lead a small group, and earlier in this year, we met in homes. We met in homes before the pandemic happened. We'd huddle up in different homes, and then lo and behold, the pandemic came, and there was a season where we met outside in the summer, and then we Zoomed. We did some Zoom meetings, and just whatever we could do to try to stay connected. And now there's about 24 on our roster, because I like that 12 number. There's like 24 of us, and we have 8 kids, and we meet every other week, and we meet here at the building. And we mask up. When we can't social distance, we mask up, and there's just bigger room for us to meet. None of our homes are big enough for all of us to sit in and really feel like be in a safe atmosphere. So I'm very encouraged. We have all different ages and definitely all different spiritual ages in our group. So it's been a blessing for us, and I'm encouraged by our group. And God willing, maybe in the spring or next fall, we'll multiply if God has that for us. So let's hear from a few of you others. Come on right on up. Step up. I think this microphone would probably work, Josh. And then if you're going to share, come on up here and get ready so we can go quick, so we get as many as we can. Hopefully we can get 8 or so people to share.
All right, so update on my group. I'm also leading a small group. We're also averaging a dozen, so that's good. We've been going through the Revelation discussion questions. We meet every other week. The discussion questions have been really good to, like, dig into the sermons. I've really enjoyed that. We've met every possible location. We met outside. We've met in backyards. We met in-house with mask, in-house without mask. We met online. So we've tried it all over the last 8 months. And one exciting thing is a number of the small group women, they got together and they had a cookie exchange, and they invited a bunch of unbelievers. And I think there were 4
women that were there that were not Christians, and Krista was able to share the gospel. So that was super encouraging. So it's been a good group. I'm encouraged with it. I'm excited to keep rolling it in the spring. And then the youth group, we are meeting on Thursday nights. We've been averaging about 70 to 80 people showing up here. And it's about 1 in 5 people in our church right now, which is pretty crazy to me. And usually as the semester goes on, it kind of loses a little momentum, but it's been rocking and rolling. We're pretty smart with distancing and masks. We have the food servers put on gloves and a mask, and we give the kids their portions every week. But I'll play a video. We play like a Piper video and a Sproul video and a Packer video, and then the dad will get up and give a testimony. So we had a movie night last week. We watched It's a Wonderful Life. We had about 75 people show up. So the youth group's been super encouraging. If there are new families you meet, kick them over my way. We'd love to have them join the youth group. So small groups encouraging, youth groups encouraging. That's it.
All right. Thanks, Josh. I just would like to add that small groups, youth group, is just a tremendous, tremendous place to disciple families. So I'm just so thankful to hear that.
Cool. So yeah, we did. We've been doing small group. We had the. I'm trying to think. I can get lost in the timeline, but I know that we were meeting in person before the pandemic hit, and then when the pandemic came around, we started meeting every week via Zoom. And then when it slowed down a bit and it got a little warmer, we had some folks over to our house, did some social distancing. And then since the spike again, we've been back on Zoom. That's how we're doing our small group. And it's varied in size. We have 14 adults, and at times we've had all of those 14 and then had two other people join. And then it's kind of gone back and forth. The last two small group meetings we've had, they've been significantly smaller outside of children. But that's allowed for our last two meetings that we've had to actually be quite intimate, I think, and it's been encouraging in that way. I think people are a little bit tired from the holidays and everything that's going on, so our Zoom meetings, the last two, haven't been big, but up until that point, they've been fairly encouraging with people showing up. It's been hard not having the kids in our home. We usually meet in our home, so that's been tricky without all the families being able to be there just because of everything that's happening with the pandemic. I'd say that overall, we're quite encouraged with... We did a number of different things. We did the SOAP method, which is the scripture observation application prayer. And then we've been doing, particularly in the early times of the pandemic, we were just checking up on everybody. How's everybody doing? How are you feeling? How can we pray for you with the earthquake, everything that was happening, the Salt Lake City hurricane that happened in my neck of the woods. And that was traumatizing for a lot of people. And just checking in on people. How are you? How are your children doing? How is life going? And I feel like we endured a lot of that together. And then most recently, it's just been about kind of continuing on and keeping on and keeping on. So I feel like it's been encouraging. There's been some discouraging, but a mix of both. And overall, I get an 8 out of 10. That'd be the rating I'd give. We're going to take a break just because our next small group was going to fall right around... I think the 14th or 15th, and there's quite a lot of couples that couldn't be at that one, so we're going to take a break and then pick it up again after the holidays, so we're encouraged.
Awesome. Thanks.
Yeah, so last semester we had 12 people, and three of them were couples who were having babies. So one of them... ended up moving to be closer with the family. One of them has a baby. They decided to take this semester off. Another one of the families had a baby, and they decided they wanted to lead a small group also. So three of the couples left. So now we have 4 people. So we have 4 adults, 4 kids. 4 of them are my kids. And so we have 2 people coming to our small group at our house right now. So Max's first point. Smaller is better.
Yeah.
So we have probably the best small group. So yeah, it was good. We met on Zoom for a while at the beginning of the year, and then we took a break for a little while, and then now we're meeting in our home, just masks, distancing, stuff like that. So we're actually going to have a dessert Christmas party on Wednesday, so that'll be fun.
Bring that on.
Yeah. We're encouraged. Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks, Billy. I want to go to your small group.
Hey. So I'm Nathan. I guess most of you know me. But so we started the year not really knowing what's going to happen. Obviously, we're just trusting God. And I would say that this year has been, like, God has really grown our faith and just really taught us to trust him. We started off, Grace had her small group and I had mine. We took a little break through the summer. We felt God calling us to also do a marriage. We didn't really want to leave our individual small groups hanging, so we decided we're just going to do three. And God's blessed it. Our marriage small group that we started in the fall has just been so encouraging to me personally. We've had three couples out of our group just totally take divorce off the table. And I just, for me, like, I just look at that and I'm like, thank you, God. Like, there's, to me, it's just about seeing God work, and he is. I, you know, I'm nothing special. God's just using us, and God is using our church, each and every one of you. And so I just want to encourage everybody to keep on keeping on, for lack of better words. So we're also going to be doing financial peace. Our marriage group is going to continue into next year. So that's going to be, I think, an amazing blessing as well. And we're seeing multiplication within Grace's small group as well. She's multiplied now, I think, twice. One's kind of cool, because there's some people that want to, they don't want to meet in person, and so it's been difficult to try to combine meeting in person with meeting in Zoom, and so they've kind of decided to multiply and create a Zoom small group and an in-person one. So I think it's kind of cool how, you know, we're finding ways and trying to just follow where God's leading us. So just encourage you all to do the same.
Thanks, Nate. By the way, I do think you are special.
Hi, I'm Gary. Catherine and I have been hosting our small group for about 4 years now, 4 or 5 years, I think. It's more of a fellowship group that we've had. Just up until recently, we really haven't had, you know, any, you know, Bible study that we've done. We've always just kind of want people to get together and just share life with one another. And we pray for each other at the end, and we always ask for prayers. And it's a good way that we found to be more included with everybody in the church. That's kind of the way we started the group. We have a mix of married and single people in our group. We have five. And there's about 14 people that are on our roster, but, you know, it's generally between 8 and 10 that we always get, you know, and we do it every other week. And before COVID, we were in our house, and then when the weather got nicer through the summer and the fall, we were out in our backyard. And then we've had a few back in the house with masks for those who wanted them, you know, without. And then we all, you know, we were distant from one another. So it's been really good, I think. You know, I think it's been a blessing, actually. You know, because we are cooped up in our houses a lot for work, and it's kind of good to actually get 3D, you know, interaction with people, because, you know, as Catherine's on Zoom calls all day long, literally, at work, so she likes the 3D interaction, so it's been great.
So. Awesome.
Yeah, so we've been doing a small group with the Kendalls for, I don't know, 2 years now. And throughout that time, we've had different couples come and go. And we've done, like, video, try to do a, I don't know, like we did a evidence that demands a verdict, and try to have discussion, watch a video, all that stuff. But this year, going through the discussion questions for the sermon has just been awesome. Started off this semester, I think we have 21 people on our roster, and we, again, average 10 or 12, and then have 7-ish kids downstairs watching a movie. So, but this time, you know, with COVID, people have been in and out. We've mostly met This semester, we've met in person every week, and we've given the option of Zoom if anybody wanted to, which has worked somewhat and some not, with setting up like a speaker microphone thing through Bluetooth speaker. And that's actually allowed people to interact, but we don't always have somebody on Zoom. But the discussions have just been really encouraging this year. I think not having a video and like a concentrated, we all sit in silence time has actually been nice because it forces people to talk. And I don't know, I've just been really encouraged. God's very faithful. I always feel like I'm not doing anything for a small group other than just opening our home and just letting God do his thing. So that's been encouraging. This last, we meet every other week. So this last time we met was after Brian's sermon on lukewarm. And that was like the best discussion we've had all year. So it's just getting better and better. This week we're doing a Christmas thing with potluck, chili, all that stuff, and snacks and white elephant. We'll see how it goes. But it's been encouraging, honestly, just people slowly. We've had some that have been with us for those 2 years, and then others that are new this semester. We have a new gal that just got saved this week that's hopefully going to join us with her kids. And so, yeah, God's good in that. It's been awesome. We seeing what will come of this next year. Hopefully more people will come, and we'll try to find room for them in our house. So.
All right. Thank you, Caleb. I think that's encouraging, don't you guys? That's encouraging to hear. You know, there's other people on the wall. God's at work. I know Brian has kept the pastors up to speed, too. There's those of you that are Zooming only. You know, bless your hearts. I'm thankful that you're meeting and you're doing what it takes to meet. Keep doing that. And if other people maybe are just looking on at this, maybe it gives you an idea. Maybe you could do that. And I trust you good. It's just so important to keep these relationships fostered and cultivated. And I think it's really, it's the Lord's thing. It's one thing to come to Christ and have a spirit living in us, but the others, that's part of that. That oneness of Christ includes our brothers and sisters, so we need to step into that. You know, spending a little time in Stockholm, Sweden, the first time we went, Brent will probably remember this, but I didn't know a whole lot about Sweden, but their winters are long and cold and dark. And as I got to know the people, lovely people, they've kind of figured it out. They've kind of figured out when winter comes that they know it's going to be long and cold and dark. So they hunker down. They have a word for it. It escapes my mind right now, like many things do. But there's a word they have for it. They lean into the winter season. They lean into it because they know it's going to be dark and cold, and they just kind of huddle up in their families. And then summer comes. And in summertime, everybody goes outside. So the pastors of some of the churches, they're frustrated in the winter because the people won't come in the winter because they're hunkering down. In the summertime, all they want to do is play out in the summer. Kind of reminds me of our church sometimes. But my point is, you know, right now for us, with this season that we're in, the pandemic that we're all learning about and living through and we'll talk about for the rest of our lives and our grandchildren as well, we'll be talking about it as well. It's kind of like, I feel like maybe we're like in those long, dark winters like they go through in Sweden. We're just in a place where we need to persevere. We have to lean into it. This is what it is. We can't change it. We need to love each other, help each other, soldier through it the best we can. And then I think, I don't know when it's going to happen, but I trust, God willing, maybe in the fall, just like the Swedes, Brent and I were there just when the weather changed. Right when the weather changed was one of the times we took a mission trip out there, and everybody was in the streets. And everybody was partying. And everybody was out just wanting to be in the sun and just wanting to talk to people. And, you know, maybe that's what our fall's going to be look like. I hope so. When it comes fall, that everybody's going to want to get in a small group. Everybody's going to want to do what's good for them spiritually and run for the Lord. And there'll just be a ripe harvest that the Lord's called us to, and we get to be a part of bringing those people to the Lord and then discipling them. And I'm convinced discipling, really, the best place that happens is in small groups. And even the smaller group within the small group. The one-on-one, life-on-life, for years at a time, is how we really get discipled and we grow in the Lord. So, again, thank you for everybody that's been watching tonight, and thank you for everybody that's here. God is so good to us, and He's got good plans for us, so I'm looking forward to it. So I'll just close in a prayer. Lord, I just thank you for this group. I thank you that we get to be together. And Lord, you've been so good to us over the years. I just praise you for that. I pray you just continue to help our saints, to help us, Lord. Lord, there's nothing we can do apart from you. I pray just by your Holy Spirit that you just help us to be wise and know how to do things and know how to reach people. Ultimately, Lord, we want more people to know you. That's our heart, Lord. Would you please lead more people to yourself? And Lord, if it be your will, we want to be a part of that. We want to labor with you as you draw people to yourself, Lord. So we need your help in that. You know that. Give us grace in all of us. Lead us and protect us and direct us. And again, Lord, what we saw tonight, what we heard is that's you. You're at work in our lives. I have friends that I didn't have before because you're doing something special in my life. And I just thank you for that. I pray that in Jesus' name, amen.